like to invite you over to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 11. Philippians, chapter 1, verse 11. Philippians, chapter 1, verse 11 reads this way. It says, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening, thanking you once again for the privilege of gathering together as your church, as your people, and as your beloved, Lord. May we never forget that you truly love us dearly. You hold us in your hands, and Lord, you desire and have promised and blessed us with great and wonderful truths that we might walk in and, Lord, enjoy. And so we ask your guidance tonight that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you, and Lord, that we would seek you with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and that we might place our hand in yours and walk and follow you and enjoy the salvation that you've given to us. Bless each one here tonight, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is "The Fruits of Righteousness, Which Are by Jesus Christ." The fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, or maybe simply put, spiritual accomplishments. Spiritual accomplishments. And I want you to consider something this evening as we consider our text. And I would like to ask you to ask yourself if Paul had any confidence in the accomplishment of what he was asking for in the behalf of the believers that he's talking to. Did Paul have any confidence? Did he have a reason to have any confidence in the accomplishment of what he was asking God for in the behalf of these believers here at Philippi? And I would dare say the answer is yes. He did have confidence. And let me ask you this. If Paul did have confidence, who or what was Paul's confidence in? Can you tell me? It was the Lord, right? God, right? God, Jesus, the Lord, all of those work. Amen. And so let me ask you this tonight. Should you and I have the same confidence Paul had in these spiritual accomplishments being fulfilled by the grace of God? Okay, that's important. So we want to be on the same page. And I want to look at a couple of thoughts here tonight concerning these spiritual accomplishments. And we have looked at this text before, but I want to look at it from this perspective of the Lord taking care of these things. And again, a couple of thoughts are the same because you can't get around that. But in verse 5, I want you to see our fellowship in the gospel. Or we could say it, personalize it, your fellowship in the gospel. Look at verse 5. It says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Well, now, what is the word fellowship? That is a communion. That is a camaraderie. That is a friendship. That is a partnership of working together with somebody and being with somebody and having a relationship with them. So specifically now, the Lord is letting us know in his word that you and I have a relationship in the gospel, right? You have a personal relationship with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the eternal life that you had received, right? So here's what happened. One day you realized, God brought it to light, that you were dead in your trespasses and sins, right? To some, that's a gradual process. To some, that is an abrupt process. But it must take place in the life of every individual to realize, I am lost, I am undone, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is simply this. Ready? Believe on the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for eternal life. And what he did, right? Not what we did, but what he did for us. And that is simply like, you know, if your dad, and I hope you had a dad, that when he said something, he was going to make sure that he did it, right? Or maybe you have a friend that when you could put your trust in them. If they say they're going to do something, they're going to be somewhere at a certain time, you could count on that kind of a friend. Well, the good news is that our great God, who has given to us his only begotten Son, is more faithful than any human being will ever be on planet Earth. And he said, if you will look to my Son, put your faith and trust in him to wash all your sins away, you have eternal life. And so what a wonderful place to be to put our faith and trust
in the Lord Jesus Christ. I read a story years ago, or it took place years ago, maybe like in the 1800s, of this teacher. Now, I don't think I could do something like this, but he was a brave soul, and it wouldn't work right if I did it anyway. But anyway, he was talking to his students, and back then, believe it or not, in the 1800s, they taught and preached about the Lord Jesus Christ in the public school system. Isn't that good? And so I think we could use that again today. I think that could probably make a little bit of a difference, really a lot of a difference in our society today. But he was trying to explain to his students in school how to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And so some of them were kind of asking some questions, and he went up to one of them and he said, listen, he called him by the first name, and I remember what the first name was. He says, here's my watch. And they kind of looked at it, and they didn't understand the whole question so right away. And so I don't know that I could do that or what have you. And so the first student sat down and he went through all of them. And then one of the boys, in his simplicity, just went over and picked up the watch and took it. And he sat down and the teacher went on. And all of a sudden, the arm started going up. And the other students that didn't take the watch said, teacher, he still has your watch. He says, yes, I know that. And teacher, are you going to let him keep that watch? Well, I gave it to him, didn't I? And they started saying, you mean to tell me that if I would have taken that watch, you'd have let me have it? Absolutely. Didn't I say, take my watch? And so, see, sometimes we complicate, we over-engineer, we overwork the simplicity of the gospel. It looks so foreign and so obscure to the natural mind, but it's simple in the plan of God that he died and took our place. And if we'll put our faith and trust in him, we are brought into the family of God. Isn't that wonderful? And so tonight, you and I have a fellowship in the gospel. And then I want you to notice verse 6, and that's God's work in us. Look at verse 6. It says, being confident. Now, he's got confidence, doesn't he? What does it mean when you have confidence? Does that mean you're kind of wishy-washy? Does that mean you kind of go between this idea and that idea? You're unsure of yourself? No, that means you're, matter of fact, you know, right? And so being confident of this very thing, listen to this, that he which hath begun a good work in you, who's that? God's begun the good work, amen? That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The day you got saved, God began a work of redemption. Now follow this work. The salvation for eternal life was a once completed process in the performing of God's work in your life. But now he's wanting to continue the saving of your life here on earth to empower it with the power of God to make us the sons and daughters of God and the children of light, not of darkness, to change our path, to change our desires, to change our objectives in life, to change our destiny, to change the way that we think, to look to the Lord for everything and knowing that he will accompany us and empower us and guide us every step of the way. So Paul says this, I want you to know I am confident of something in particular. Right? We have a fellowship in the gospel. He says, from the first day, what day was that? From the very first day you got saved, even until right now at this present day. Are you still saved tonight?
Amen.
Okay, that was, I think that was most of us. I don't know if that was all of us. Are you saved tonight?
Amen.
And that took place on the day that you trusted Christ as your Savior. And so you were saved. Let me ask you this question. That means, tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, that means you were saved from the day you got saved and all the way through. You never lost your salvation and never will lose your salvation unto this present day. Is that true?
Amen.
All right, that's important because now when you consider that, listen to this. From that day you got saved till now we have confidence. Are you confident you have eternal life?
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Will
you ever lose that? Aren't you glad? Can you be glad that you have come? And by the way, who gave you that confidence? The same one that saved you, right? God. And so Paul says, being confident of this very thing, what thing is that, Paul? that he which begun a good work in you, remember when you got saved from that very first day until the very present day, right? That he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So that means that, listen, your redemption as far as eternal life, like I mentioned just a moment ago, is already sealed, signed, sealed, delivered. You're written in the Lamb's book of life. That will never be absolved. Your name is there for eternity. Think about that just for a moment. Forever, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. That hurts my head a little bit. But anyway, because we are in the Lamb's book of life, because we are saved from the first day until this present day, and because we can count on him who has begun the good work, which is the Lord, that he will perform it in you, right? Notice verse 6 again. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, where? In you, right? Now you've got to take that personal. You couldn't just say, yes, Jesus died for the souls of mankind. That doesn't do anything for you. But when you say Jesus died for my sins, that makes the difference. That changes your destiny. And so likewise, in the same place, you have to say this also, that he which hath begun a good work, where? In me, in you, right? Listen to this. Will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God is about the business of doing a work in whose life? Yours and my life. Every one of his children that are here on earth. Boy, here's my watch. Not really, but you know, like the teacher said, here's my watch, right? And just take it. Listen, ready? Here's what the Lord's saying to you and I. Here's my life. Here are my promises, right? And here's what I want you to have. So, verse 7, ready? Even as it is meet for me. You know what Paul's saying? It's a help. It's a blessing. Isn't it good to see other fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who have tasted of the goodness of God? Even as it is meet, it's a help for me to think this of you all. Isn't that wonderful? Because I have you in my heart. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And as much both in my bonds, listen to this, and in the defense and confirmation, right? You see a lot of people trying to defend the faith. God also, listen, he doesn't just want us to give a good witness. He wants us to confirm this faith by the working of God in your life and mine. So he says this, inasmuch as both I have you in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the what? Gospel that you and I are partakers of, that you and I are filled with. And notice this, ye all are partakers of my grace. That's what Paul is saying. You all, listen, from the first day until now, God is performing this work by Jesus Christ in your life and mine, and we are partakers of the same grace as the Apostle Paul. Paul didn't say, I've got something you don't have. He says, you've got the very same grace that was given to me. That's so important to understand. And so now we find that Paul is clarifying that in our hearts and minds, that we might understand that we are seated together, amen, with Christ Jesus. We're in the same boat. It's not like you got some people over here and some people over there, some VIPs over here. Guess what? The good news is that everybody, and I don't understand it, who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is a very important person. How important? The Son of God died for you. Amen. That's wild. All right, so what does he want us to do with this fellowship of the gospel, this work of the Lord in us, this partaking of the same grace? What is it? And by the way, can you and I have the same confidence Paul had that he had in this spiritual accomplishment being carried out in these believers? And the answer is yes. God wants you and I to have that kind of assurance of the spiritual accomplishments, plural, listen, that God, not you, not me, that God wants to carry out in our lives. Here it is, ready? Here's my clock, here's my watch, right? What do you have to do? Just take it. Just take God at his word. You know what we do? We go, I don't know about that. That's crazy. God says, I want you to have this. And then he says this, listen, not only will it bless your life, but it will glorify my name. So watch this, verse 8. For God is my record. You can't have a better record than that. Amen? You want to look at the best record? When Satan comes accusing the brethren, let me show you my record. Yes, my natural record's a mess, but my spiritual record is covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So for God is my record, listen to this, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. That's the best way to be compassionate and concerned about one another is in the bowels, in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this I pray, verse 9, that your love, listen to this, may abound yet more and more. That means it doesn't stop, it grows. Don't listen. God is saying, and Paul was praying for the believers, and I want you to know because it's in the canon of Scripture, it's the will of God that your love that God gave you would abound and would grow more and more. Not our love that we have, but the love of God that was given to us at salvation. Do you remember when heaven came down and glory filled your soul? Do you remember that day, that night, whatever it was? Do you remember that event that took place? God is saying, I want that love because that love knows no bounds. That love gets excited. That love has no reservations. That love is completely, how would you say, just given by the grace of God, right? And so he says this. He says, I want you to know, verse 9, that your love may abound yet more and more. And how does that abound more and more? In knowledge and in all judgment. That's the word of God. Where's knowledge found? In the word of God. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all our ways, God wants us to acknowledge him. And then he says, now I'm going to direct your paths. Now I'm going to let you know those things that kind of seem like, kind of gray, right? The world likes to see kind of gray. God says, oh no, I can make them perfectly black and perfectly white. And you'll have no confusion as to the direction that I have for you in your life. All right, last few thoughts here. And here's what I want you to see. Sincere and without offense. Again, remember, these are spiritual accomplishments that who wants to work out in our lives? God wants to work these out in our lives. Can we have confidence in God's work in our life? Amen. Yeah, amen, absolutely. So we got saved when we trusted him. He was faithful. Now let's just trust him for the rest of the work that he wants to do on this side of eternity in your life and mine. Okay, verse 10, sincere and without offense. Listen to what this is saying. That ye may approve things that are excellent. Who? The believer. You. Me. Right? Paul is confident that believers will be able to approve the things that are right, that are excellent. Isn't that amazing? You know, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you to guide you in all of these things. And we just need to use him. And when I say use him, we just need to yield and allow him to fulfill and do his work in our lives. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense, till the day of Christ. I didn't say that. If you would have had me write the Bible, I would have never said that. I wouldn't have. You know why? Because I'm afraid of myself. I am afraid of myself. I really am afraid of myself. And you probably are too when I tell you like this. I am afraid of myself because I have gotten myself in many messes in my life. So I have a right to be afraid of myself. You ever gotten yourself in a mess?
Yes.
Amen. We ought to be afraid of ourselves, but not of God. And so he says this, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, how can we have that kind of confidence? Not in ourselves, but in the Lord to carry these things out. Being filled, listen to this, I didn't say this. Now, when something is full, right, like a gas tank, my gas tank is full, right? Not really, not today. I got to go get gas. But anyway, when it's full, can I put any more in it when it's full? No, that little thing just goes click, 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 click. And if it doesn't go click, I'm going to be in trouble, right? So here it is. Being filled, not half full. See, this is important. When you and I are not filled, there's a problem. And if we're not filled, that is the moment to stop and bring it before the Lord and say, I have a problem that I need you to help, that I need you to fix. I'm not even going to help you, Lord, because you have to fix it. So listen to this. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Whose righteousness? God's fruit. God's righteousness. And so this is God's fruit. Remember, we're just to abide in the vine. We're just the branches that bear the fruit. Fathom that. God is the vine, and you and I cannot bear any fruit without him. All we need to do is abide and let him do what he wants. He's the one that bears the fruit in us. Does that make sense? He's the one, and we just step back and go, wow, that is amazing. And we praise his God. We praise his name when we see his fruit abiding in our lives, because we know this. Without him, we can do. Isn't that, oh boy, listen. But with him, we can do what? All things. Isn't that amazing? It's not rocket science. It's simple that even a child could believe. The only problem is with our heart that would keep us from that. So listen, watch this. Ready? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by your hard work and your effort and your commitment and your determination and your persistence. Is that what the Bible says? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are who? By who? Oh, it's not you. It's not me. It's not by, it's not, does it say by rededicating yourself, recommitting yourself, being more determined? Oh my goodness, listen, that's too much work. God never intended you and I to approach him from that angle. You know what angle he approached? You know what angle he intends for you and I to approach him at? Ready? Ready? Listen. It is what? Finished. It is finished. Isn't that what he said? How much of it was finished? Then why do we try to help God out? We'll never do it. God doesn't want our help. And here's the newsflash, ready? You might find this hard to believe. God doesn't need our help. But he wants to use us and he wants to bless us. Listen, forget this nonsense. I'm guilty probably of saying it myself. Oh boy, wouldn't they make a wonderful Christian? No, they're natural sinners. They don't glorify the Lord. And if they serve God, if they get saved and serve God with that natural strength, God will have how much of it? None. None of it. Isn't that a hard concept to learn? And isn't that a hard thing for us to just rest in? I love God. You don't understand. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that for God. And the Lord says, okay, I'll wait. When you get tired, when you're done lifting up that load, come see me and I'll show you what I want you to see. So the way it works. All right. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by who? Jesus Christ. And because they're by Jesus Christ, they're unto the glory and praise of God. But I would, ye should understand. Do you know what that tells me? We don't always understand. I'll say it for me. I don't know about you. I don't always understand, right? My wife could say, my husband, he doesn't always understand. He doesn't always understand. And I even have told her, I've even confessed to her, sweetheart, guess what? I don't understand, right? What, you know, sometimes I read things incorrectly. Have you ever misread somebody and you thought they thought something that they didn't think, right, wrong, or indifferent, however it worked, you just missed it. And you and I can do that and probably have done that. And I dare say have done that to the Lord. So here it is. Ready? Verse 12. But I would that you should understand, brethren. So we know he's talking to believers, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now, I want you to see this, and we're going to close with this thought, okay? So some difficult trials were happening in Paul's life, and some of them were saying, I thought when you got saved, everything was hunky-dory, right? Nothing ever went wrong when you got saved. You'll not find that in the scriptures. Do you remember when they said, oh Lord, I'll follow you? And he says, hey, I want you to know, I don't have a place where to lay my head down. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to do something that's not natural, and that is deny yourself. So he says here, but I would that you should understand, verse 12, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, listen to this, because of what they saw, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Wow. Let me just give you a quick little illustration. So they had Paul on watch. They had a guard by him. And they would change the guards. But you know what Paul was doing? He was preaching the gospel to them. And they were getting saved. And here are the soldiers. And then they have a changing of the guards. And everybody, so Paul saw it as an opportunity. He thought, listen, they thought he was a captive. And in reality, he had a captive audience. He says, because you can't leave. You've got to stay right here. And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to show you the way of eternal life. And they were trusting the Lord. And they were saying, man, listen. Nothing stops Paul. And Paul just revealed to us why nothing stops him. Because it is the work of God in his life. And Paul is saying, you have the same gospel. You have the same fellowship of the gospel. And you have the same grace. And you know what they said? I can use it like Paul did. And you know what they were doing? They were using it like Paul did. And so tonight, the fruits of righteousness that God wants to bear in your life and mine are by Jesus Christ, not you and me. And we can have confidence in these spiritual accomplishments because it is God who will accomplish it in your life and mine. So tonight, I want to remind you that God is wanting to do a work in our lives if we'll have it. You know what he's doing? He's holding out his hand, not to give you and I a watch, but to give you and I his life. And that we might say, yes, Lord, fulfill your will in my life. You've promised it. I wish to, as best as, listen, and ask you for guidance that I might receive your promises. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Not only your word, Lord, but the work that you are doing in your children and want to do in us. Bless the rest of the evening as we break off for prayer. And Lord, may we approach you by faith, trusting that you will fulfill all these things and not doubting in you and looking to ourselves, but having that confidence that Paul had. Having that confidence that we have in the eternal life that you've already given to us, that you will also perform that which you've promised. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.